Proverbs chapter number 11 is where we take in our scripture from this morning. If you will, bow your heads and pray with me and pray for me. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, God, and just thank you for this time that you've given us to be together as family, God, to come into your presence, God. And God, we just ask you to be here with us, and may we lift you up and glorify you because you're truly worthy of our praise and our honor and our glory. God, I pray, dear Father, as we're here today, I pray that if there's needs in our hearts and our lives, God, I pray that we'll allow you to meet those needs. And God, I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that today will be the day that they come to know you as their personal Savior. God, I just want to thank you and praise you that one day you dealt with my heart, God, and you gave me that small measure of faith that I may step out and accept you and that you've been my Lord and my Savior. And God, I pray that you'll help me to give my whole life to you and trust you with every bit of it. God, we just thank you again for all that you do. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Proverbs chapter number 11 is where we'll be taking our reading from this morning. I'm throwing stuff around. Excuse me one minute. I really just can't believe that anybody would get up here and want to talk basketball in the middle of God's house like that. I'm really disappointed that y'all would take God's time to talk about something like that this morning, because I would never do that. Oh, me. Wahoo, that's all you can say. I love my church family. I knew I was going to get it this morning. I almost wore all black because I knew it was coming. But anyway, Proverbs chapter number 11, verse number 2, kind of leads us right into the message this morning. You know, there's times in our life that we get to where we get into a place that we need God to speak to us, and we can take things that are happening in our worldly, all-for-fun life, and we can draw a parallel with our Christian life and maybe get some strength, some encouragement, and some instruction from it. But Proverbs chapter number 11, verse number 2, the Bible says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. This morning, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about pride. I want us to look at pride and what the definition of pride is and what the Bible says that pride does to us as Christians. Now, in all in fun, you know, last week that I was standing up here like a little banty rooster and I was strutting around because Virginia had beat Carolina. And I was tickled to death about it. I wore my orange and my navy. And, man, this is our year. We're going to win it all. I don't know about y'all, but my bracket is busted. I mean, it's gone. Might as well throw it in the trash. And it was a fun kind of pride. It was a fun kind of here we are, and we're going to take this, and we're going to run with it. But the Bible teaches us that pride is something that's not very good in a Christian's heart. And that was all for fun, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that kind of, you know, teen pride or whatever you want to call it. But I want you to look what Proverbs chapter number 11 said. I mean, Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. Now, this morning, I'm not walking quite as high, am I? I ain't wearing my navy and my orange like I was last week. I'm not up here telling you to say wahoo instead of amen. I'm not doing any of those things like I did last week. Just in case you're here visiting with us this morning, I'm picking with them about talking about basketball because I got up here and really laid it on thick last week. My only problem is I don't have control of the microphone when Lynn gets started. I can't cut him off like the sound booth does me when I get started. But when you get pride in your heart, if you're not careful, things happen, and all of a sudden you get to a place to where you shouldn't be so prideful. As I looked up the definition of pride, I looked and it said it's a feeling of deep pleasure or satisfactions derived from one's own achievements. And in my own definition this morning, pride is overconfidence because of something that you have done. Overconfidence because of something that you think that you have accomplished. Or an overconfidence because of something that I think that I have accomplished in my life. Oh, I did this. Now look at me. Watch what I can do. Now, never in history has a number 16 seed come into the NCAA tournament and beat a number 1 seed. I'm going to encourage all of you because if I understand it correctly, Little Caesars has agreed to give personal pan pizzas on April 2nd between 11. Let's make them pay for Virginia being beat. You go get all the pizza you can get on April 2nd from Little Caesars. I'm going to hold a grudge on this. I can't help it. So, but that overconfidence that comes in your life and you think, man, we have done this. Now, whether or not Virginia walked into that arena the other night and said, we know that we've got this. We don't have to play as hard. We're playing a number 16 seed. Whether that was a thought process or not, I don't know. But what I can tell you by the way that they played, they got beat like a drum. There's no way to deny it. That overconfidence could have played a part in that. But let's look at what happens to us as Christians, because if we're not careful, we get to the place in our Christian lives where we say, you know what, I've been saved for this amount of years. I no longer do some of the things that I used to do. I have let God have control of those parts of my life, and I've walked away from some sin that was really taking over my life. And we get to the place where we say, I go to church every Sunday. I go to church on Wednesday nights. I read my Bible. I do this and I do that. And we get to saying I a whole lot in our sentences about our walk with Christ. But as we look even in our Christian walk this morning, if we let pride and we let overconfidence come into us, there's some things that can take place in our Christian lives that will be just as ugly as what happened to Virginia the other night at the tournament. There's some things that we think that there's no way that this can beat me. There's no way that this is going to ever happen in my life. I can stand strong. I can wear this out. That is not a temptation for me. And if we're not careful, we'll get beat like a drum when we let that overconfidence come into our lives. Psalms chapter number 73, verse number 6. The Bible says, therefore, pride compasseth them as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. You let that pride come into your life, and the next thing you know, you'll be bound up. You'll be tied up. You'll be in a place to work at one time where you were free and you felt like you had liberty in Christ. All of a sudden now, something that you thought that you just had all the, you could overcome it. You had all the strength to stand against it, that you thought that you could do something because of everything that you have done, that overconfidence because of something that you could done. Now all of a sudden you find yourself chained up again. Now all of a sudden you find yourself to being a slave to something in your life. All of a sudden, when I fall into that and I go, you know what, look what I've done. Look how I was saved at 7 years old. And I know I've shared my testimony with you before, but by the grace of God, I went through school and I never touched any drugs or alcohol. And I am proud of that. I am proud that God kept me from doing those things. But I want you to know it wasn't because of me. It was because I let God use my life and God direct my life. But when I get to thinking that, oh, I've done something and I have overcome and I don't have to worry about this because I am walking so close to God, I better watch out or I'll find myself chained up. I'll find myself bound up again. Proverbs chapter number 16, verse number 18. The Bible said, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You let pride come into your life and you get overconfident in your ability. You get overconfident and because of your accomplishments, and all of a sudden you'll understand that that pride comes right before a destruction. That pride comes right before a fall. And if we're not careful, we'll let something that we think that we've done get us to a place that we can't stand on our own anymore, that we're bound up and that we have been destroyed. And you say, well, what are you talking about, preacher? You think Satan's trying to destroy me? Absolutely. The Bible teaches us that Satan is after you, that he wants to destroy your testimony. Hey, look, if you're here and you're saved by the grace of God this morning, he knows that he can't have control of your soul anymore. But I want you to know something, that he wants control of your testimony. He wants control of your walk with Christ. He wants to control you and to beat you down and to destroy you and to chain you up. And he's very good at doing that through pride. Proverbs chapter number 29. Verse number 23, the Bible says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold him, the humble in spirit. Again, as you noticed that last week that I was up here strutting around and being all funny about Virginia beating Carolina, and I was so excited about that. And this morning, that pride is being brought low. This morning, I told him when it happened the other night, I said, I don't even want to go to church Sunday morning. I know what's coming. It's going to be bad. And some of you varmints started texting me right away, and little babies crying and all kinds of stuff. I love my church family. I'm going to pray for y'all really hard. But that pride, when it gets chained and when it becomes in a destruction mode, all of a sudden you're brought down low. And you know what? When you get down in here, Satan will jump on you and he'll say, look what you've done now. Look where you're at now. Somebody that thought you could stand. Somebody you thought you was so strong. But now look where you're at. And he will begin to destroy your confidence. He will begin to destroy your relationship with Jesus Christ. Pride is a destroyer of our personal relationship with God. But now I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter number 15. Mark chapter number 15. Let's look at verse number 21. We're going to read through verse number 32 right here. The Bible says, and they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to Barry's cross. So here, they have taken Jesus prisoner. They've already gone to the garden and taken him prisoner. They've already had their make-believe trials that they had. They have taken Jesus and they have beat him with the cat of nine tails. They have begun to mock him and pluck his beard and all these different things that they were doing. And then they give him a cross and they want him to carry it to the crest of the hill. And they say that they compel a man to help him carry that cross in verse number 22. And they bring him to the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription, the accusation, was written over the king of the Jews. And that wasn't a thing that they wanted to announce that he was king of the Jews, but they were making fun of him. They were mocking him and saying, he says he's king of the Jews, but look what we've done to him. Verse number 27, and when they crucified two thieves, and with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand, the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered among the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days. Again, making fun of him. Verse number 30, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. As you read these verses of Scripture and you see, and we know all the miracles that Jesus had done. And I'm sure that as Jesus done these miracles, that there were people that began to put confidence in him. There were people that began to say, look what he has done. And now here he is hanging between two thieves on a cross where they're making fun of him, where they're spitting on him, where they're ripping out of his beard. And they're doing all these cruel things to him. They're even gambling for the clothes that he had on. And there he hangs and they begin to mock him and make fun of him. And to say, look, if you really are king of the Jews, if you really are who you say that you are, why don't you come down off that cross? You mean you're going to tell us that you're going to save everybody else? That you're going to tear down the temple and rebuild it in 3 days? And you can't even save yourself off of that cross? How in the world are we supposed to believe that you are who you are? How in the world are we supposed to really believe that you are the Son of God, that you are that Messiah? And you know what? As I go through my life, I want to show you something. As you look right here at Jesus Christ, and you may say, well, this is not a very proud moment in his life. This is not somewhere that we should be able to find pride in as Christians, because here our Messiah, our Savior, our King is there on a cross, and they're just doing whatever they want to him. They're being able just to do anything that they desire to him, to mock him and make fun of him. They're doing what they're having their way with Christ, our King, right here. How in the world do you find pride in that? But you know what? As I go back to where we're looking at what pride does in our lives and how that we shouldn't let pride into our lives, I'm going to tell you as Christians this morning, if you're saved by the grace of God, you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, and you know that you belong to Jesus Christ this morning, this is one of the most proud moments that we can have in our lives. It is right here at the cross of Calvary. Right here at this place where the Bible tells us that they hung him between two thieves in order for him to say that he was among the sinners, because Jesus Christ was not a sinner. Jesus Christ never failed. He never messed up. The Bible tells us that he was tempted in every way that we are tempted, yet without sin. This morning, as Christians, if you want to find somewhere to have pride in your life, you have a moment, you have a time in your life when you fell down on your knees and you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's something that you can be proud of this morning. That's where you can find some pride in your life. Hey, there's been some accomplishments in my life. There's been some failures in my life. And if I'm not real careful, I'll let those accomplishments make me have a big head. I'll let those accomplishments, well, look what you've done. And there's no room for that kind of pride in my life. There's no room. But I want to tell you what, there's room for me to have pride in the cross of Calvary this morning. There is room for me to say, I know what Jesus Christ did for me. I have confidence in that. And I want you to know this morning that you can never have an overconfidence in the cross and what the cross did in your life and the love that was given to you there on the cross that day. You can never have overconfidence in that. And if you put your pride and your joy in what Jesus Christ did in you, I promise you, you'll never be brought low in that part of your life. when I was studying, looking at this, I couldn't help but think of a couple of old songs that we used to sing. At the cross where I first saw the light. At the cross where I first saw the light. And the burdens of my heart rolled away. You know what that burden of your heart was? That was sin. I want you to remember the day that you found Jesus Christ there on the cross, when you knew that He gave His life for you, and you was able to find forgiveness there at the foot of the cross, where the burdens and the sin of your life was rolled away there at the cross. That's something that we can be proud of this morning. That's something that we can take pride in, that I followed Jesus Christ, that I met Him there at the cross, that His blood was applied to my life, and now I don't have to stand guilty of my sins. I don't have to stand in shame of my sin, all because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, where all the burdens of my heart rolled away. I want to show you some things that the cross can do for you. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 18. The Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." The preaching of the cross to a lost and a dying world, it sounds like foolishness, that someone would love you enough that he would shed every drop of blood that he has there on a cross for you. That sounds like foolishness, but for you that can take pride in knowing that you found Jesus Christ there at the cross, that you found that forgiveness, that is the power of God in your life. That is power in your life. Don't ever forget what Jesus Christ did for you there on that cross. Don't ever forget the day that you met Him there at the foot of that cross. Don't ever forget the pride that you can have because of what Christ did on the cross for you. It is the power of God. A couple of weeks ago when Billy Graham passed away, I was listening, I believe it's to his 106.9 The Light, and I flipped it over, and in between every song, they was doing little testimonies between people who had either been around Billy Graham or his family. And I remember one of them, he said that he was eating lunch with Billy Graham one day, and he was trying to think of just an awesome question. He said, "Here you sit with Billy Graham." He said, "What in the world do you ask Billy Graham?" He said, "I was just trying to think of something that would confound the wise. I wanted to ask him something that I would just get some deep meaning out of." And he said that he looked at him and said, "Billy," he said, "if you could go back and do anything different in your ministry, what would you do different?" And he said that Billy Graham looked at him and he said, "I would preach the cross more." He said, "because that is the power of God." I tell you what, sometimes we look, and I know that in a couple of weeks we're going to be looking at the empty tomb, but I want you to know that it all started there on a cross, that Christ loved us enough to shed His blood for us, that He loved us enough to allow them to mock Him and spit on Him, that He allowed them to do all these things. I want you to know this morning that they didn't take His life, but He freely gave it for you and I. Man, and I want to tell you what, as Christians this morning, the day that Jesus Christ met you there at the cross, that's something you can take pride in. Don't take pride in these accomplishments that we have out here in the world. Hey, we're all guilty of it. Let's just be honest. We're all guilty of saying, "Look what I've done and look what I've been able to do." And we all know without God that we couldn't have done any of it. But sometimes it still jumps on us. That kind of pride will destroy. But the kind of pride in knowing that you belong to Jesus Christ will never destroy you. Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 14. The Bible says, "But God forbid that I should glory." He says, "God forbid that I should glory, or that I should be prideful, or that I should think that something that I've done is wonderful." He says, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross," except for the cross. He says, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." I want you to know this morning that I believe that God is even happy when He sees us take pride in our relationship with Him, that we are excited, that we put all the confidence in the world of what He did there on the cross. Overconfidence in the things of this world will destroy you. Overconfidence in the cross won't. Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 20. The Bible says, "And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by whom to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." As you look at the Scriptures this morning, there is plenty of place for us to rejoice in the cross, to glory in the cross, to find power in the cross. But even more than that, I want you to know this morning that when I found the cross of Christ, I didn't understand a whole lot about the Bible. I didn't know all the books of the Bible. I couldn't take you down the Romans road. But I'm glad that I can remember the night that I found the foot of the cross, the night that I found Jesus, and I knew that He had given His life for me on the cross. I found peace there at the foot of the cross. I found power to be a son of God there at the cross. I found forgiveness to be given to me there at the cross. I found mercy there at the foot of the cross. I found grace and comfort. All of these things that I didn't even know I was going to need, I found there at the foot of the cross. And I take pride in the day. I know that I've told y'all several times, I can't tell you what month it was for sure. I can't tell you what day of the week it was. I don't know exactly the date that it was. I can't remember all of those things. We didn't write it down anywhere. But I can remember the spot where I got down on my knees and I said, God, I accept what You allowed Your Son, Jesus Christ, to do for me on the cross. And there that day I found glory in the cross. I found power in the cross. I found grace and mercy and peace and forgiveness there in the cross. That I take pride in. Because you know what? The Bible teaches me that through my pride, all these other things can be taken from me. All of this thing, all this worldly mess can be taken from me. I can be brought low out here in the world. I can wake up tomorrow and have an injury that takes me out of work, and I can be brought low. There can be something catastrophic that happens in my family that relieves me of any kind of possessions that I've laid up for myself. But I want you to know that if I glory in the cross and I take pride in the cross, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing the president can do. There's nothing that anybody in this world can do to take that away from me. I can put my confidence in the cross of Christ this morning. There at the foot of the cross, you say, well, exactly what did you find? This morning as I look there at the foot of the cross, I think of another old song that we used to sing all the time. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And Mr. Fenstermaker is going to sing it for me up here in just a minute. And when sinners plunge, isn't that amazing? You ain't never forgot the day, have you? And when sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. And then the chorus, lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. I ain't going to sing to you this morning. But when sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. Are you here this morning? And maybe you have found some pride in the things of this world. Maybe in fun, you take pride in UNC Tar Heels. Maybe in fun, you take pride in Carolina Panthers, whatever it is on the sports side. Maybe in your job, you take pride in being able to go through the ranks and you have got your place to where you're making a good financial living for your family. Maybe you take pride that you do certain jobs in the church. Maybe you take pride in those things. Maybe you take pride in, man, I have bought a house and I have a little piece of land and this is mine. And be careful because it ain't yours. It's still the government's. Quit paying taxes on it and see what happens. But that's the point. All of this little stuff that we take pride in can all be gone just like that. You put your pride in the cross of Christ. But see, it kind of goes back to this. You remember the definition of pride? You remember the one that I gave you, Hannah? If you will, come on and get us something for invitation, please. Jennifer, please. You remember that definition that we gave? A feeling of deep pleasure. Now I get deep pleasure when I look at my relationship with Jesus Christ. But you see, it says a feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements. See, that kind of does away with pride altogether in my life. Because it's not about my achievements. It's about what He did for me there on the cross. The only thing that I did was believe. The only thing that I did is say, God, I accept what You did for me there on the cross. When you look at what I've achieved, the only thing that I did is trusted. The only thing that I did is said, okay. I mean, it's like somebody trying to give you the best gift in the world, and the only thing you said is, okay, I'll take it. This morning, I want you to know that that gift is being offered to you. I want you to know that the things that's there at the cross that I say that I found at the cross, if we took time to go around the church this morning and hand everybody a microphone and say what they found at the cross, there would be answers that I hadn't even come up with. There will be things, but I promise you one thing that you'll find at the cross is forgiveness. One thing that you'll find there at the cross is peace, mercy and grace and comfort. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know what? When they put Jesus there on the cross, they thought they'd really done something. They thought that they had really achieved something. But what they didn't know is he was the one that was achieving something. He was the one. They was falling right into his plan. And that plan was for you to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. As you go through days in and days out, let's be careful that we don't allow pride, the bad kind of pride, to come into our life. Nothing wrong with being happy with what God's allowed you to achieve in your life. There's nothing wrong with being happy with what God has given you and what God has blessed you with. But just know that it all is because of God. Just know that without Him, we can do nothing. But also this morning, I want you to be able to take pride in knowing that you found Jesus Christ at the foot of the cross. If you will, bow your heads for just a moment. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saved. You know without a doubt that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But maybe we find ourselves taking more pride in the things of this world than what we found at the foot of the cross. Can I just go ahead and tell you that I'm guilty of that sometimes? Can I just go ahead and tell you that sometimes, I mean, I've even sat and told my wife before that some old dumb hillbilly like me is managing a business with nothing but a little high school education. And if I'm not careful, I begin to blow up on the inside about that. And I get confident. I get pride that comes in. But what about my relationship with Christ? How much pride do I take in that? How much am I thankful of that? Maybe you're here this morning, you found yourself in the same boat. We take a little more pride in the things of this world than we do the things of Christ. If so, here in a minute, you're going to have an opportunity to come and discuss that with Christ. You don't need to talk to me about it. If you do, I'll be glad to, but there's no need to. You need to talk to you and God need to handle that. Maybe you're here this morning, you're lost, and you know that you have not found what I found at the foot of the cross. You know that you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Here in just a moment, you're going to have that opportunity. And I promise you, you'll find all the same things that I found. I promise you, you'll find that forgiveness, that grace, that mercy that can never be brought low, that can never be destroyed. Lord, I just want to thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to be here together. God, I know no one's heart but my own. But God, I do know that sometimes pride comes into my life. God, I know that sometimes I let the things of this world be very important to me. I forget that I'm just passing through, that this is not my home. And God, I pray that you'll help me to let that pride go from my life. God, I pray that you'll help me to realize without you, none of that's possible. And God, I pray that you'll help me to take pride in what you did for me on the cross of Calvary. God, I pray, dear Father, if there's one here today that's lost, Lord, I pray that you'll knock on their heart. God, I pray that you'll speak to them, that you'll draw them. And I pray that today will be the day that they have the relationship with Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. As you stand to your feet this morning, Hannah's going to sing. If you need to come and do business with God, don't worry about, hey, if you're worried about what the person beside you or in front of you or behind you says, pride's already there. If you're worried about what anybody else will think, pride's already there. If you're worried about whether somebody's going to judge you and say, oh, they must be prideful, then pride's already there. Come and give it to God. Come and ask Him for help. This altar's open.
Can peace afford? I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Enjoy your pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Maybe you're here this morning. You want to take this opportunity just to come and talk to God and tell Him to thank you, thank Him for giving you something you can be proud of. to thank him for doing something for you on the cross that nobody else in the world could have done. For giving you a gift that nobody else in the world could have given. For giving you forgiveness. Maybe you've had to rely on that peace, that comfort, that joy, that forgiveness. Maybe you just need to come and thank him this morning. Hey, I know I'm not too big on shouting and raising my arms and all that, but I don't think it's anything but come giving God some prayer of praise this morning. Maybe you need to come thank him for what he's done in your life. Hannah's going to sing one more verse. You have an opportunity to come and to praise him and to worship him around the altar. Don't let it go by if you need to come and worship him.
Most holy one, oh, make me thine dear, thou blessed son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Amen. Thank you for your attendance, for your attention this morning. I really appreciate you being here. I really don't appreciate you making fun of me and my basketball team, but that's all right. It'll be okay. Another day will come, and we'll see what happens. And go anybody but UNC. Tom, could you go to the back door again this morning? No, I'm playing. I'm playing. If all hearts is clear, Lynn, will you dismiss this word of prayer?